Welcome to Search for Meaning. I'm Yoshi Zweiback. Thanks for tuning in.
Why, when, where, what should I be? Is all I'm asking.
My guest today is Nomi Zweiback, my youngest daughter, who's a student at Barnard in a dual degree program with the Jewish Theological Seminary. And so every day she's on the Barnard Columbia campus, and she's right in the middle of an incredible mess. But she'll talk to us about what she's experiencing, some of the painful aspects of what it means to be a student there today, but also some of the inspiring and hopeful and supportive ones. Stay tuned and be inspired.
I wanted to talk to someone who had some experience with the sitch going on in Columbia University.
Would be much,
well, it's been in the news a lot lately. I'm sure you've been following it. And then I was thinking, who could I interview who could tell me about the situation at Columbia Barnard, when lo and behold, it turns out my own daughter, full disclosure, everybody, Nomi Zweiback is my daughter. And she's been on the podcast before. I am inviting her back to discuss the situation on campus. It's right now the middle of Passover. We're in the it's the second day of Passover here. And Nomi will be heading back to New York in just a few hours. Nomi, tell us a little bit about the year that you've had. Maybe you could just share a couple of vignettes for us, a couple of experiences that you've had. I know there's been some really positive moments of community coming together and really supporting each other, but obviously for everybody listening who's been following the news, we know that lots and lots of tension on the Columbia campus, the Barnard campus. What are some of the things that you can share with us that you've experienced as a Jewish student, an Israeli Jewish student at Barnard since October 7th?
Okay, so I'd say that there has been rising hostility towards Jewish students starting October 7th, October 8th. It definitely kind of peaked in the fall semester. There would be protests every single week. They called themselves pro-Palestinian protests. However, they were chanting "From the River to the Sea," other violent chants against Jews and Israelis generally. Just a lot of anger, a lot of anti-Semitism. Some I experienced personally, a lot I heard from my friends. Then coming back after winter break.
Can I interrupt you for a sec? Can you share a few of those experiences that you had? And if you want, also maybe share, because not everybody understands why "From the River to the Sea, Palestine Will Be Free," that particular chant is one that is feels so violent for so many Jews. So maybe first say something about that and then share a couple of your own experiences that where anti-Israel sentiments really crossed over to anti-Semitism, or it had nothing to do with Israel at all. It was just straight up anti-Semitism. But first, that chant, and I know you hear it on your campus constantly.
Yes. So "From the River to the Sea" is a chant for violence. Whether or not people understand that, that is what it means. It basically means that from the river on the east to the sea, which is all the way on the west of the state of Israel, that all of it will become Palestine and none of it will be Israel. So it's basically calling for an ethnic cleansing of the state of Israel and every single person who lives there, which of course is predominantly Jews. So it's a very violent chant. That's also something that's frustrating, people trying to defend or, you know, make excuses for the chant that that's not what they mean. To me, it just either it's just belligerent hate or a complete lack of knowledge of geography. Either way, not
well,
acceptable.
Many of us have seen the, you know, videos where they ask protesters what river they're talking about and what sea they're talking about, and the ignorance is breathtaking. There's lots of folks who have no idea. But for people who know the geography from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, if you made that a place that was solely Palestine, then there wouldn't be room for Jews, for sure. And some of the anti-Semitic experiences that you or your friends have had, I know there's too many for you to share on an hour-long podcast, unfortunately, but maybe just share a few of the significant ones you've witnessed.
Okay, so I'll just share two experiences from my personal that I've experienced. The first is that I teach at a school once a week, completely not related to Israel or Judaism. It's about the environment. And we go to public schools, and I had a new group of co-instructors that I was walking with and just trying to make small talk, you know, didn't know them very well. This one girl says to me, "Oh, you know, I wish there were more coffee shops by campus that you could really sit down and like do work." And I was agreeing with her, like, "Oh yeah, that'd be great, you know, more places to study around campus." Then she goes, "Well, you know, my friends and I decided that we had to cancel our subscription to Pret, which is a coffee shop, it's a chain." And I was like, "Oh, why did you cancel your subscription? I don't understand that. Like, I thought they had a good deal and it wasn't that expensive." She said, "Oh, well, you know, my friends and I decided that we couldn't support them because they support Israel." And then she goes, "Well, what do you think about that?" And I was just kind of stunned how casually she had made that statement, that she wouldn't buy products from a company that supposedly supports Israel, which they don't even. They just were like opening a shop in Israel, so it wasn't even accurate. And I just was like, "Well, I'm Israeli, so I don't believe in boycotting companies that support Israel, firstly. Second of all, I would say that there's very little chance that they have any actual impact on a war thousands of miles away. So, you know, boycotting them isn't actually doing anything. And third, I'd say if they really want to boycott, they should actually boycott Israel fully and not use their phones and not use Waze or WhatsApp, cherry tomatoes, all of those things. It's just, it's very hypocritical." She kind of understood it a bit after saying that she should really, you know, educate herself, but the biggest shock was just how casually she made the comment. The second experience I had, I was sitting in the library wearing my Student Supporting Israel sweatshirt, and this girl across from me, sitting directly across from me, we were facing each other, and she was sitting next to her friend. They were nice, and then they saw my sweatshirt, and then they looked at me and looked at her friend, this main girl, and she goes, "Look at her sweatshirt." And they start laughing and texting each other and just continually laughing and looking at me. And, of course, her computer had all the stickers, and it was very uncomfortable.
Stickers supporting
like
Palestinians and...
I mean, not actually supporting Palestinians, but, you know, according to them, that's what they're doing. Instead, they were just acting like children laughing at a fellow student in a library that was donated by Jews, so it's pretty hypocritical. It's called Milstein Library.
And you've had, some of your friends have had some deeply anti-Semitic, anti-Israel experiences. Maybe you could share one of those that you had shared with me.
Yeah, I mean, one of my friends was in the center of campus, and someone came up and yelled, "Fuck the Jews." I'm also in this group chat with a bunch of Jewish students, and these past few days there's been a lot of texts going on. Someone threw water on Jewish students holding Israeli flags, and someone also tried to burn an Israeli flag inside of campus.
And this was after the encampment had been cleared the first time.
The first time.
Right.
Also, there's a mob outside of Columbia, so, you know, they're not students, but they're always there now, at least over, I guess, a week. And firstly, they chant "From the River to the Sea," and they chant "Intifada" loud enough that I can hear it in my dorm. And one time I was walking across them to get somewhere else on campus, because you kind of have to walk by them. And they were yelling, and I was videoing them, and then my friend was videoing them as well. And this one woman goes, you're an ugly bee. You're a smug bee. And then later that woman was recorded saying she is Hamas.
The woman said that she called herself Hamas.
Yes.
Right.
The same woman who said that to my friend and maybe me as well, because I was standing right next to her. I could keep going, but I don't know how much, you know, teachers endorsing it, canceling class, giving extra credit to go to the protests, just and general hostility.
Have you had any teachers, sorry to interrupt, but have you had any teachers expressing concern for Jewish students, concern for what happened in Israel on October 7th, you know, even support for return of the hostages or eliminating Hamas from leadership? Have you heard that sentiment from any of your teachers? I'm not talking about your teachers at the Jewish Theological Seminary where you're doing your dual degree, but on the Barnard Columbia campus.
Some teachers I've had have been really supportive and really kind to me and to, I know, to other Jewish and Israeli students. However, comments made in front of the entire class, I've never heard. Like, I've had teachers be really kind to me in private, but I've heard teachers just say, oh, like, I know it's, you know, everyone's having a hard time, or I know there's a lot of tension, but that's kind of the extent to which they mention it.
And do you feel that some of that might be because they don't want an angry mob of anti-Israel students upset at them? They don't want to be cross with some of the other academics, some of the other faculty. I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it, like, I could understand that teachers not wanting to get involved, or to, yeah, definitely not wanting to become like a target of some of these student groups, because they do target, you know, people on campus. I don't really know what the best way to go about it is. I definitely can say that I always appreciate the teachers who are thoughtful and understanding and empathetic of what I'm going through as a Jewish student and other Jewish and Israeli students on campus.
Now, I know you've felt a lot of support from the Hillel there and the Chabad house on campus. Have you felt any of that support from the administration? I know you've reached out to the administration and shared with them some of the ways that this has made it hard for you to study, made it hard for you to feel safe on campus. What kinds of responses have you gotten from the Columbia Barnard administration?
I sent an email to the president of Barnard, President Rosenberry. She never responded. This was just a few days after October 7th, and I was telling her that she needed to say something to the community about the atrocities that had just happened. Yeah, she never responded. I had a dean and the director of DEI come to Hillel one night where I spoke mainly to the director of DEI. She was very, you know, she was listening to us as students, but she did ask if she thought, if I thought that the administration needed to do more for Jewish students, which I felt was a ridiculous question. So, of course, the answer was yes, you need to do more.
Because you hadn't felt like they'd really done anything.
Yeah, because they haven't done anything. I mean, they suspended.
You could have said, well, you know, they couldn't do less.
You couldn't do less. Exactly. So you could do anything. They suspended SVP, they suspended JVP, they still have a presence on campus, and they still seem to be able to do whatever they want, so don't really know how that worked. And then they suspended students, especially the largest, just a few days ago from the encampment. However, President Rosenberry just sent an email that all suspensions basically could be taken away, and the students could go back to class and do everything normally if they just now follow the new guidelines, which completely backtracks what she had said previously, because she warned people that they would be suspended if they didn't leave. So there's just no follow through. Then the president at Columbia, President Manoush Shafiq, she is trying to negotiate with the encampment and protesters. I think that both of them have lost full control and respect, and yeah, it's quite incompetent the way that it's being run, because they're allowing a group of students who many of them, I would imagine, are still technically suspended to take full reign of the campus, which is just absurd.
What's it like, just to help people understand how it feels for you? Obviously, you can't speak for other students, but you leave your apartment, which, you know, by the way, 116th and Broadway, one of the highest density of Jews living in any city in the United States, almost anywhere in the world outside of Israel. And, you know, you leave your apartment, you cross Broadway, and you go into the Columbia University gates, and you have to walk across or around barricades or walk through the encampment. What does it feel like for you as you're going to one of your psychology classes or, you know, an activity? What's that feel like?
It's crazy. It's very frightening and overwhelming because there's so much happening. And it's also this weird world that I feel like we're living in where, you know, we are in Manhattan, we're on the Upper West Side. You wouldn't expect this from where we are, and just constantly thinking of Israel, the fact that Israel is actually at war, and then to be looking at New York and Columbia University, which is one of the most expensive schools in the country, and looking at what these students are doing, it's almost just like a joke, their behavior. And yet it's very horrifying because they're so hateful. I would also say that I got a picture that Motaz Azizi was pictured at the encampment, and he is suspected to have infiltrated Israel on October 7th as a quote-unquote journalist, but journalist for Hamas, somehow he is on campus actively.
Is he a Columbia student, or he's just like
I have no idea how he got on campus, but somehow he's allowed on campus, which is just absurd. There are many professors in the encampment, too. I don't know how they feel good about themselves, what they're doing, how they can consider themselves academics.
Because I was very distressed to see one of my former professors who I studied with him when I was at Princeton, Cornell West, and just watching him. I mean, I've seen this now over the last many years. Someone who would, at that time when I was in college, was a real ally of the Jewish community, has just completely gone off the deep end and was at the encampment with a bullhorn telling the students how proud he was of them. And again, like for me, you know, free speech, wonderful. And if you want to speak out about your concern for other people's and concern for innocent non-combatants in Gaza, I understand, me too. I share a lot of those concerns. But to do so without ever acknowledging or referencing what started the conflict on October 7th, what ended the ceasefire before then, the terrible trauma of the hostages. Just today, as we're recording this, we got word that Hirsch Holland Goldberg, there's a video that had been released, and God willing, he's still alive. But as of whenever that video was filmed, we could hear him speaking now for the first time in 201 days. You know, without acknowledging any of that, it just strikes me as so unbelievably cruel. You know, like how do you raise your voice with these concerns without acknowledging any of the context? And then the other thing that is exceedingly problematic is the constant use of the word genocide, which is, I know you have done a lot of work with Holocaust Museum LA, and you've done some work in New York with survivors. What's it feel like for someone who's actually studied this to hear that word used in this context?
Well, I think that people are very lost and do not use words to their proper meanings. So genocide is obviously a very big word, and it has to do with intent of killing someone, or intent of killing a group of people because of some identifier that they have. So I'm thinking today is actually, you know, the Armenian Genocide Remembrance Day, and just that these people are very careless in basically everything they do, I'd say. The people I mean that are in taking over campuses and being violent and hateful. that they don't understand the impact that that word holds, and that, you know, although there is a lot of death in Gaza, which is really sad, you know, I don't want innocent people dying. War and genocide are not the same thing. And you can criticize war, but to you know, pull in the word genocide is just inaccurate and puts a disgrace to actual genocides that have happened, because they're not the same thing. And we should call genocide out when something is genocide, like October 7th was a genocide, because it was, their intent was to kill as many Israelis as possible. So it's,
and intentionally targeting, you know, non-combatants,
civilians
at a dance, you know, festival. As painful as it is for me to hear these stories, and I've heard some of them already, not just as your father, but just as a human being who can't imagine what it would be like to be on, in that kind of, you know, situation on a college campus today, and to feel that level of anti-Israel rhetoric and anti-Semitic rhetoric, which, by the way, we experienced together when I was visiting back in November. We were on that crosstown bus, and we were talking about the conversation that I'd had a conversation earlier in the day about
proportionality,
exactly, thank you, and how a lot of folks who criticized what was happening in Israel, this was early in, you know, late October, early November, had a very skewed understanding of what proportionality means. And the person whom I was quoting said, you know, would, in such a situation, would it mean that you would have to do exactly to people in Gaza what had been done to civilians in Israel? That would be perfect proportionality, you know, the exact same behaviors. It makes no sense at all. And we're having this conversation on the bus, and we get to the bus stop right when we crossed over onto the west side, and this, you know, young woman turned to me and said, "You're a disgusting human being," and then stormed off the bus. And the level of anger, you know, and vitriol was, took me aback. And even, you know, to say, first of all, is we were on a bus, but, you know, we were having a conversation at a sort of normal talking level, and to have someone say, "Hey, you know, I couldn't help but overheard what you said, and I happen to disagree." Like, you could have a civil exchange about it, even on a bus. You know, you could say, "Hey, I take issue with that," you know, whatever. But to just immediately go to, "You're a disgusting human being," that was hard to hear, and it felt immediately to me like, "Wow, you are not in Kansas anymore." With all of those negative moments, I know that there have been moments where you felt really supported by classmates, by faculty members, by Hillel leadership, by professors at the Jewish Theological Seminary, where you're part of this dual degree program. Could you share a moment or two of either solidarity or hope, something that's helped you really navigate these last 6+ months?
Yeah, so I'd say that, you know, Hillel, Columbia Barnard, and Chabad, Columbia Barnard, have been really amazing, very supportive to the students. They have lots of programming and support, and it's just a beautiful community, and it is a big community on our campuses. Being at JTS right now, I feel incredibly grateful to have a place where I am able to feel so comfortable and study freely and speak freely, which is really, really, really amazing, and I feel very grateful. And then I do have great friends, Jewish and non-Jewish, who have been supportive and understanding and kind, so I'm very grateful for them. I'll also just say, like, the Jewish community as a whole at Columbia and Barnard has been acting very respectfully, peacefully, kindly. I think that really acting, you know, like the bigger person as a group, and not, you know, stooping to the level of what other people are saying about us and doing to us, which makes me feel very proud, because of course I always want Jews to be acting and saying, just behaving in the best way possible, because I that truly lives up to our Jewish values. So even if people are going to be hateful to us, I don't want us to respond like that. Yeah, so definitely grateful. And then I just keep reminding myself that, like, although this is frustrating and makes me angry and scary because it's such a national movement of these encampments and these protests and this hate, I just keep reminding myself that the Jewish people have gone through so much worse, and I'm, you know, at a school where I should just be learning, and I just think of our ancestors and everything they've been through, so I know that we'll get past this, and just, I want to think and bring people back to the bigger picture, which is the 133 hostages who are still held in Gaza. All of this is just feels like a distraction from what's really important. So, yeah, just keep bringing myself back to them.
Well, Naomi, I want to thank you for your time and for that beautiful message at the end, the perspective that you have and that you're able to share so beautifully. So thank you. I'm really proud of you as a person, and also especially proud of you as your Abba.
Thanks, Abba. Love you.
Well, that's our podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, I'm exceptionally grateful to my beloved youngest daughter, Naomi Zweiback, for sharing her perspective so bravely and courageously, for the example she sets. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in a similar situation, because it wasn't like that for me when I was in college. So I'm grateful to her. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to share this podcast with a friend. Who knows, maybe they'll want to subscribe to Search for Meaning as well. Thanks to the Search for Meaning team for making all of this possible. Stay healthy, stay hopeful, and stay tuned.